welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, and it's our hump day. Always, every Wednesday,
right.
David Deal, Anita Marks, we come your way. We hang out with you for lunch. So for the next hour, we're going to be talking all things Big Blue as they get ready for week four against the Buffalo Bills. I am so stoked for this game.
Huge game on the road for the New York Giants after a big win at home. Got the weekend to rest. I think the encouraging thing for the New York Giants is to build momentum, to make corrections from the last game. But the biggest factor is we are getting players back to full health.
I know, right?
Anita.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Okay, so let's look back before we look forward. And that Thursday night football game against the Washington Redskins.
Yep.
What are some of the positives that came out of that game for you?
I think the positives offensively, number one, with the adjustment of the offensive line with Flowers sitting out, I think they did a very nice job of protecting Eli Manning, giving some run holes. But the biggest factor that they need to work on this week going up against this Buffalo defense is the run game. Going up against this Buffalo defense on the road, which is number one against the run, the last thing that you want to have happen is being third and longs this entire game. Because, number one, you're dealing with crowd noise. Buffalo is a great place to play. Their fans are into it more than ever before, with Terry Pegula taking over now as the owner, Rex Ryan as the coach. I actually called the game there last year against the Green Bay Packers, and the Buffalo Bills won that game. The entire game, the crowd were on their feet. They didn't sit. So you know, number one, that this crowd is going to be amped up. Offensively, you've got to make sure that you communicate at the line of scrimmage, nonverbals in the silent count, because Rex Ryan is going to do his best when that clock goes down to 15 seconds, 12 seconds, to try to show you a different look that you haven't seen before you can make the adjustments without getting a delay of game. So it's important to make sure that you're prepared, because it could be first and 10 and it can be third and 7. Rex Ryan will run blitz zero at you. He wants to be disruptive and he wants to do anything he can. I thought Reuben Randall the last game was a big step up. We'll see what happens this week with Victor Cruz to help out with the wide receiver position. I think the receivers are in for a big day, because those first and second downs have to be positive gains, whether in the run game or if they run screens for Vereen, getting Victor Cruz back into this game. They've got to make sure they're efficient in the passing game to stay out of third and longs, because let's face it, it's going to be tough sledding first and second down running up against this group. I thought Eli Manning played very well, managed the offense well. If you go to the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line played extremely well against the run, which they knew the Washington Redskins were going to want to come in and establish the run, get some rhythm for Kirk Cousins, which they weren't allowed to do. Created turnovers, had some big hits. Go to special teams. Obviously, the big punt block, but then you look, the kickoff return for a touchdown. Can't have those things. So a lot of positives, a lot of negatives. But you obviously, once you go through a win, it's easier to look at the positives. When you go through a loss, it's negative, 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 and you have to sit on it for a week. Now you're starting to see that they're putting all the pieces together and moving forward, and it's going to be crucial this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you look at this NFC East division, Dallas needed 2-1, but no Tony Romo. You've got Brandon Whedon still at the quarterback position. They have a big Sunday night football game in New Orleans against the Saints. Not sure if Drew Brees is going to play that game or Luke McCown will be back at the quarterback spot for them. Giants needed 1-2, along with, of course, Philadelphia and Washington. So, you know, for this team to start off 0-2, and not a lot of positives, you never know what's going to happen in the course of a season, that now a little bit more hopeful that there's still life within this NFC. And I know it's early in the season, but you never want to start the season 0-2, 0-3.
Absolutely not.
You know?
Especially the way that they lost the first two games in the fourth quarter. So they found a way to win it in the fourth quarter. And we all know that this division, it all comes down to December. It all comes down to who's healthier, who's racking up the wins at the end. And we all know now, with the way that the NFL is scheduled everything throughout the regular season, You start off with division games and you end with division games. So it's going to be a close match running through all the way till the playoffs.
All right. Phone lines are open, as always, 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Also, monitoring Twitter, so if you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can. Hashtag Giants Chat. That's how you do it. Really quick, head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media earlier today. A few things I want to share. If you did not have a chance to watch on MSG, also, it is up online. So if you have an opportunity a little bit later on this afternoon, I highly recommend you do that. Few things Tom Coughlin communicated, and of course you had the Tom Coughlin press conference with Paul Dottino.
Paulie D, yes.
This Bills team, number one team in rushing this season in the NFL, number one rushing defense this season. They have a very good offensive line. They lead the NFL in sacks for the second year in a row. Big question mark about LeSean McCoy. I guess Rex Ryan spoke to the media earlier today. Hamstring. They do not expect LeSean McCoy to play, but they have Carlos Williams, who, again, Tom Coughlin said this dude is big, he's strong, he runs a 4.48, and he runs north and south. He's averaging 7.8 yards per carry.
He's averaging over 7 yards a carry.
That's insane.
He's had some big runs. He had a big run this last week. So he shows not only can he handle it inside the tackles, run through arm tackles, and get those yards after contact, but he shows that breakaway ability as well.
Charles Clay, tight end, comes over to Buffalo from the Miami Dolphins, has two touchdowns the last two games, and fantasy football-wise, I know this stat. The Giants have given up over 240 receiving yards to tight end so far this season. So this is a crucial matchup. They're utilizing him in the passing attack. So with question marks about Sammy Watkins, whether or not he's going to be able to play on Sunday, Charles Clay is a big part of this offense with Tyrod Taylor and Percy Harvin. So the Giants have to pay attention to him. Also, Tom did mention special teams, Thigpen as well as Percy Harvin need to contain them. I found this interesting. He called Tyrod Taylor outstanding. Now, this is a conversation that Paul Dottino and I just had before the show. And, yes, Tyrod Taylor, I think, has been one of the biggest surprises this season in the NFL. And he's playing extremely, very smart, heads-up, savvy football.
Yes.
But one thing Paul said was, listen, this is a guy that for the past 4 years has been holding a clipboard. And he has not faced a defense or a defensive coordinator like Spags. And another thing Paul said that I thought, and he said nobody's really...
Baltimore.
Really talking a lot about this, and we have to give Paul Dottino credit for this because he's right. Spags spent the past 2 years in Baltimore. He knows this young man.
Yes.
Okay, he's seen this guy come in and take snaps at practice. He knows his tendencies. He knows his positives. He knows his negatives. So if who else, who better than Spags to create and put together a defense?
And a game plan against somebody who he's familiar with.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be huge for this game. And I think the biggest factor for Taylor is their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. Greg Roman, who obviously came over from San Francisco, has had an athletic quarterback in Colin Kaepernick. I actually think that Taylor has progressed faster and quicker in this offense than Kaepernick has, based upon the way that he's played, based upon the way that Greg Roman puts him in positions to win, but he's not asking him to do too much. You know that he's going to be a three, a five-step, a bootleg guy, a naked guy, use his legs, move the pocket, move the launch point, which is to his advantage. He does have the legs to run, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't just pick up and run. He still goes through all of his progressions. And it's going to be very important for the defensive ends to maintain leverage and contain, because other quarterbacks, you're running around the bow, you're going around, but you've got to make sure that you don't get past. This is the quarterback. You've got to make sure that you don't get past him. Because if you start getting past him and around him, that's where that seam opens up for him to run.
Right.
So there's got to be that discipline and the rush that you still want to get there, but you've got to make sure that you condense the pocket in his face, and that way you can get him thrown off of his back foot. You can't get him comfortable, start getting everything in his way. And that's the way that the Giants have to win, is because if they can put him in third and long positions, that's not his forte. His forte is in and out, get in rhythm, run that dynamic offense that Greg Roman wants to run, but he's not a drop-back quarterback.
Let me ask you this. How important is Landon Collins' role going to be this coming Sunday? How do you anticipate Spags to utilize Landon Collins in regard to a pseudo-shadow, if at all? I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah, why not? You know, that's a great question.
I mean, that he thrives as being that box corner, that box safety.
One of the things.
And he's athletic enough.
Well, he's obviously going to have to be down to make tackles. One of the things that you talked about is Charles Clay, who makes shallow crossing routes, makes those mismatches between linebackers and finds that open space to open up things for the wide receivers outside. But to go along with all that stuff, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you're talking about doing something different. You've got to attack. We haven't seen really any safety blitzes. We've seen some corners. We've seen linebacker blitzes. I want to see him involved in the passing game and in the blitz package.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, one of the other things that goes along with being disruptive is throwing looks at a quarterback that he's not familiar with. And at this point, the Giants haven't done a lot of safety blitzes. They haven't run strong safety corners or different types of things. So these are different ways that they can give him different looks and different blitzes and change things up compared to what they've run the last three games.
A few other things that Tom Coughlin mentioned, you touched on it just a second ago, that this team is finally getting healthy. Robert Ayers, Eric Flowers, Victor Cruz, Double O, DRC, all practicing today. The only two that are not practicing, unfortunately, are two tight ends. That's Cunningham as well as Fells. However, Tom Coughlin sounded very positive and optimistic that Fells will be able to go on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, and they're going to need him on that to help that offensive line with pass protection with Eli Manning.
Yes, they will.
And in regard to Cruz, this week is just going to be like his workload each and every day is going to increase, and then they'll make, you know, who
pitch
knows?
It might be
a game time decision, but my gut's telling me Cruz is going to play. So, and also he did confirm that Wes Welker and Hakeem Nicks did come in for a workout. He was asked about that, and he said it's just about around this time of year where, listen, we just want to evaluate. We want to see what's out there. Just in case somebody goes down, we know kind of where these guys stand, how athletic are they, are they in game shape. We evaluate each and every week. They bring
every
players
Tuesday,
in.
It's the right. same thing, and obviously it's going to draw more attention when you have a Wes Welker and a Hakeem Nicks in the building, but this is something that takes place in every NFL facility across the league every single Tuesday on the day off. I mean, they've got 10, 12, 13 guys coming in to work out, get physicals in case, number one, there's injuries down the road, so they have their emergency list. But number two, if somebody shows a flash of something, you never know. You could pick somebody up. So this is definitely something that is familiar around the NFL. But like I said, I think – once you hear Wes Welker and Hakeem Nicks, obviously you're going to draw more attention to it.
David Deal, Anita Marks with you on this hump day edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here, coming to you live from the Giants facility. The show, by the way, is sponsored by DraftKings. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live, of course, again, brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy destination. DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code New York to play for free today. Again, that code is New York. I told you before the show, this was crazy this weekend. So on Sundays and Mondays, I'm up at Bristol with ESPN. And on Sundays, it's pretty cool. I get to sit in the war room and I get to watch all the games with, like, all those, you know, Schefter and Mort and Carter and all those guys. So it's really cool. I kind of sit in the back and I just got, I'm kind of like,
I'm just going to
fly on the wall.
Watch, yeah.
So anyway, so I sat next to this dude from DraftKings, right? And he's kind of like, he's their spokesperson. He's like the one who's had like some of the, like all the commercials you hear.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
dude won too many. Yeah. Okay. So I'm sitting next to him. Get this. He was playing in he had 200 contests going on that day. So it was so cool for me to sit next to him with his computer, and he's got all these can you imagine 200?
No,
I said, how much money do you have out there right now? He said, oh, about $50,000-$60,000. So any given weekend, he's got about $50,000-$60,000 active on DraftKings. I said, so what do you walk away with? He said, oh, $500,000 to $1 million a weekend. I was like, what? Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Where are you from? Like, this is ridiculous. He had won $100,000 on golf earlier that day.
Unbelievable.
Could you imagine?
No, I couldn't.
I mean, it's just, it's sick. You guys got to play. I mean, you know, obviously this is what this guy does for a living.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, everybody's getting into it. Anywhere you look, you've seen DraftKings everywhere. So it's not a surprise. You've seen the commercials. I mean, everybody's getting into it.
But so it was just really cool to sit next to, like, you know, I dabble. I dabble. We all dabble. Yeah. We have fun. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to stack Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb. I mean, but, like, he had, like, ridiculous players that were putting up ridiculous. It's just, it was really cool to be next to a pro who actually does this for a living and makes a fortune. Anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's kick off our calls with Mark calling in from Maryland. Mark, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing? David and Anita, how y'all doing today?
Excellent,
welcome in,
Mark.
Welcome in.
Hey, man, that's good. I was hearing the news about Hakeem Hicks, Wes Walker, and I think it was also, what's his name, from the Chris Cooley, trying out for the Giants. I think it's good to shake off the receiving core a little bit. We don't know what's going to happen down the road. I'm not too sold on Larry Donnell right now, his performance after one game. And, you know, I just want to get your opinion about this little shakeup as far as, you know, I know management's not happy, that happy, but how do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, this is something like we were talking about during the show. This takes place, and when you see a Wes Welker, Hakeem Nicks, it's going to open up your eyes more, especially with the injuries at the wide receiver position and the inconsistency of play at the wide receiver position. So I don't think anything's going to be shaken up yet. Obviously, they want to see what the status of a Victor Cruz is, not only this week, but moving forward. These are two players that have veteran experience that can come right in, understand the offense, and add right away. So we'll see down the road, but I don't think anything's going to happen right at this moment.
Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. Jeff, you're next up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Fantastic.
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Good. And just real quick before I get started, I want to say I think it's great how you guys have ex-players on the show. I think it's one of the best things you do. You don't see that very many places around the league, and it's really awesome to be able to talk to ex-players. And Dave, you were one of our best for a long time, so it's really great to have you on here.
Thank you.
Just real quick, I wanted to just touch on a couple of things from the Washington game before the Buffalo game. It didn't get mentioned. I don't think a guy got enough credit was that punt that Rashad Jennings blocked at the beginning of the game. How many teams do you see a team's number one running back out there trying to block punts? You know, you don't see Adrian Peterson or DeMarco Murray doing things like that.
Yeah, Jeff, just to interject here, Rashad Jennings, his story is very different than most. And not sure if you're aware of it, but like Rashad Jennings was like the fat kid that nobody wanted on their football team. And Rashad Jennings was the dude in high school that couldn't sniff the field because he was just – the coaches thought he was that bad. And so there is added extra motivation for him in life when it comes to football on and off the football field, and he goes the limit because he knows any opportunity that he can get to get on the football field. So he has practiced at special teams.
Yep.
He appreciates special teams more so than that stud running back who's been gifted from birth. You know, it's just it's a different mentality with him. And I think it's important to really point that out.
He likes having the blue-collar mentality.
He does.
He comes to work each and every day. And when you see somebody like that, a starting running back, on special teams, it just you can do nothing but tip your hat to him because you know this is somebody that puts the team before themselves.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was so important for us given we're 0-2. We had two bad losses. We've been losing for a couple seasons. We really needed to turn this thing around right away. Everybody's saying it's a really important game, all hands on deck. Everybody's got to do a little extra. And there's your number one running back out there trying to block a punt. I thought that set the tone for the game. I thought that was something you don't see all the time. And I just thought that was great, and I don't think it even got mentioned enough. And that was just an unbelievable way to start a game, and that was that team-first kind of thing that we really needed throughout. And I think it carried over the rest of the game. I was really impressed with Amukamara, the way he played. I think if he could stay healthy for 16 games, he's a Pro Bowl corner. The offense got a little bit of rhythm going. You know, obviously we had a few things we need to clean up, but it was really nice to get that win out of the way. And the thing that was impressive with all the players we were missing, we shut down Washington's really good running game without our best defensive end. You know, it was a short week. We didn't have Rogers Cromartie, and I was a little worried. Now, granted, Washington doesn't have the best receiving core in the league, but our other corners played fairly well. We didn't give up a lot of deep plays or a lot of big plays. And I think the way we beat Washington is what we have to do if we're going to beat Buffalo. If we can stop their running game and make Tyrod Taylor try to beat us the way Kirk Cousins had to, they're not going to win. Like you guys mentioned at the top of the show, that's not his game. He's not that kind of quarterback. So if we can stop the run, now we're getting healthier. We're getting more guys back. Beeson's back. We're only getting healthier, so the chances of us getting in a rhythm here and getting on a little bit of a roll, it's going to start this week because it's obviously a really big game. But if you look further down our schedule, I think you might have mentioned it at the top of the show too, San Francisco, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, these teams are a mess right now. Those are all winnable games. Two really important division games, but Philadelphia's not playing well. Dallas is missing players. It's not out of the question. I think we could get on a really nice roll here with all our players coming back and with the team getting a little more consistency and things like that. That's pretty much, I think it's going to be the only thing I'm really concerned is the lack of pass rush, and I'm hoping that getting Odighizuwa back, maybe he's going to be some type of spark in the pass rush. I know he didn't do that a lot in college, but he wasn't asked to do that a lot in college, has been mentioned before, and he's got the frame and the physical tools. Maybe he can give us some type of spark, because right now, unfortunately, DeMontre Moore's not getting much done when he's in there on third and long, so I'm hoping he's healthy and we're going to give this kid a try, and maybe he can give us a little boost in that department. I think that's our biggest weakness right now.
Jeff, thanks for the phone call. David, you know, really interesting. He mentioned the schedule,
yep.
And it's funny because it's something that we do as broadcasters. It's something that I think fans do as well, to look at the schedule prior to the season starting and saying, "Wow, okay,
this is a win, maybe not." Yeah, you start,
right? You get into that, but like, look how much in just 3 weeks, right? Look how much has changed in regard to the landscape of the NFL. I mean, he's absolutely right. San Francisco just looks absolutely horrible right now.
Yeah.
They came out their first game of the season. They look great. But, you know, Levi Stadium, they're hosting the Super Bowl this year.
Kaepernick is playing his worst football in the NFL right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Philadelphia has been struggling. Yeah, they looked a little bit better against the Jets this past week. I know that's the game
that's the game I have
coming weekend.
Philadelphia at Washington. But once again, if you look at all the moves they made, especially on the offensive side of the ball, Sam Bradford has not done anything this season to make you forget about Nick Foles yet. He really hasn't.
No. And the offensive line is struggling. They haven't been able to run the football. I mean, you know, and maybe that's just a work in progress for them. Who knows? Dallas, no Romo. Whedon is there. No Dez. New Orleans, they're struggling big time. Who knows? Drew Brees is going to play this week, and apparently, even if he does come back and play, I'm hearing that his velocity is just, it's spent.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a dink and dunk offense probably for the remainder of the season. Then at Tampa with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but you know, I just pointed out just to say how interesting it is that after 3 weeks, the landscape of the NFL changes.
Completely
where maybe
changes.
You're a lot more optimistic about a matchup for the Giants than you were prior to the season beginning.
Of course, yeah, because then if you're looking back at it now and you're saying, oh, well, we got Dallas within the first 7 weeks twice, and then now you're looking at them the second time, and I know people are hoping, oh, I wish we had that game even closer because of the injuries they suffered. So it is. Each and every year in the week two, week three, everything changes. The season changes. Injuries occur. And those games that you thought were bleak, all of a sudden might get a little bit of life in them that you're like, maybe we could pull that one out.
All right, let's go to line three again. 201-939-4513, the number you want to get in. Jimmy's calling in from New York. Jimmy,
the
welcome.
Jimmy.
Hey, David. How are you, Anita? How are you guys today?
Doing
fantastic.
Great, Jimmy. How are you?
David, big fan of yours, of course.
Thanks.
You gave us some great years on that offensive line. And being that you're behind the mic today, I wanted to just touch upon Eric Flowers. And I got to say, of all my years of watching football, I am very impressed with the 21-year-old kid, especially in the run-blocking department. And I don't know if the fans have noticed, like even back to the New York Jet preseason game, I've noticed he has frustrated a lot of linemen, especially Sheldon Richardson. Looks like he had his way in the run game with him. And if people have taken notice, against Randy Gregory, looks like he's the one who gave him that injury on the ankle. And also, Mincy taking a swing at him gives me an indication that he's
blocks. Really
abusing some guys in a run game.
Yeah,
what do you think about that, David?
I think that he has. He's made tremendous strides throughout his time, from the time he got drafted up until now. His technique has gotten a lot better, the consistency of it, tying his hands and feet together in the passing game, which is something that all offensive linemen coming from college to the pros have to do, the timing, when to throw, because you're playing up against so much experienced defensive ends and defenses. But the biggest thing that I see out of him is he's playing with confidence. He's playing with toughness. And, yeah, when you see veteran players throw punches because they have a rookie finishing them to the whistle, that's exactly what you want to see. So I give a lot of credit to Justin Pugh and the way that he stepped over to the left tackle position from left guard and his versatility and how much he's helping the offensive line. But you're correct. I'm extremely proud of the way that Flowers has worked. He wants to be the best that he can be. He's asked me questions from the minute that he got into the building. So his sky is the limit for him.
It's funny. Eric Flowers isn't the most talkative guy in the room.
No, he's a quiet guy.
So he shows his
toughness out on the football field.
But it's so funny because it's been challenging for the media. You know, you ask him a question, you just get like a one-word answer, which doesn't bode well, especially if you're interviewing him on TV or radio. But I'll be honest with you, I don't care. The way that he's playing,
and he's only going to continue to get better and better.
I know. I am not the one complaining about that. Let's go to line two. Bob in Texas. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome.
Hey, Anita. Hey, David. How are you guys?
Excellent, Bob.
I would like to mention a sentence that we're beginning to hear, and I don't believe we've heard anything like this in the past 2 years, and it goes like this. We are getting healthy.
Yeah. It's great to hear, isn't it?
It is wonderful to hear. I mean, if you look at played a good game against Washington, and now we have Ayers, Cruz, Beeson, Flowers, DRC, and Double O coming back. That's half a team, probably.
Yeah, and all at key positions too.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm optimistic about the Buffalo game. I want to say something about the young guys, and then finish up with a question. I think Kerry Wynn has gotten to the point where he is a quality starting defensive lineman in the NFL. And for a guy that was, you know, undrafted practice squad, it's just wonderful to see. The way he played at the end of last year, I don't believe was a fluke.
I agree with you. I think that he's come on strong. I think he's provided that extra boost when needed to. Had a nice tackle on third down last week against the Redskins, penetrating into the backfield and coming up with a nice stop. His whole game now is about consistently doing it week in and week out, where as you're a rookie, you're getting beat up, you're going down towards the grunt of the season, and you really saw him pick it up towards the end when he got all the experience that he needed. This year, he started off getting all the reps because of JPP being out, the injuries amongst the defensive line throughout training camp. So he's gotten more and more experience, and you're starting to see him become an asset not only in the run but in the pass as well. So you hope that he continues to make progress. But having said that, in order for this defense to thrive, yes, you need Robert Ayers back, but Demontre Moore has got to come to play soon. It's time where potential and production meet.
Right.
I mean, plain and simple.
Yeah.
He was ready for the season, said he was ready to show who he was as a football player, as a dynamic pass rusher. I'm still waiting.
I want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, you've never played on DraftKings. It's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's look at some of the tweets that are coming in. David Deal, Anita Marks with you, Big Blue Kickoff Live. This is from Ricker81, says, look at what Deion Lewis did to the Bills. Vereen's going to have over 100 receiving yards. I wouldn't go that far, but I do believe that you've got Vereen that I think will have more success against this Bills defense than Jennings will. I think that the way that Vereen can be utilized, I think, bodes well and plays more into the offensive game plan, I think, that we can expect to see on Sunday. Agree or disagree?
I agree, and I think the screen game is something that has to be evident in this game. Anytime you want to slow down a defense's pass rush, you get the screens. Get them upfield. Get it outside. Shane Vereen has got to win one-on-one matchups this week against linebackers to open up things. But like I said, I think this is a point where this week, yes, I understand that we struggled up against run. We're not running for over 120 yards against this defense. So they've got to find a nice balance and blend of making sure that they are effective and productive not only in the runs, but in the passes on those first and second downs. No drop balls. You can't have miscommunication or miscues. Those things this week on the road against this defense, you can't come away with them. Yeah, it may be able once, but the next time it happens, it's a big play going the other way. This is a game offensively that you just need to stay on schedule, plain and simple.
I'm going to tie in that to this next question. This is from Eddie Goomba. He says, "What are the most
Goomba, I didn't even think that we were paying attention to Twitter here.
Well, there's only so many things we can do at once. What are you most concerned for in the Buffalo game? And I'm most concerned for Eli's health and safety. I think Rex Ryan is going to really tee up some exotic blitz packages and really try to get after Eli. So that is why, as well, I think Eli's not going to have a lot of time to wait for certain receivers to get open. That's why I do believe that Shane Vereen will be utilized kind of as that dump, that screen, yep, that kind of that release for Eli for those quick releases, because you know Buffalo's coming.
Not to mention every single wide receiver has to be on alert because they're going to be running hots. Anytime that you see that, that's when you see the wide receiver yell to the quarterback and point out a defensive back coming or a linebacker. They've got to make sure that their preparation this week is the best that it can be, because Rex Ryan's defense is going to throw something different, a wrinkle that he hasn't used the week before. And when those things happen, number one, you have to understand the offense. But number two, you have to have confidence in your preparation and you trust your eyes, because you know what you've seen on film. You know what's in the playbook. You know what you're trying to effectively create. You just have to go out and do it, basically. So that's the big thing for these games. When you're going up against the Rex Ryan defense, you know that you need to be on top of the X's and O's of your playbook, of the defensive game plan, and what the strengths and weaknesses of them are. Because if you can get that telltale sign before the snap, if you can trust your eyes, that's when you're reacting and not thinking. Because if you think against this defense, that split second, it's too late for you. It's already by you.
This is a tweet from JoJo. Hello, Anita and Dave. I'm just wondering why Spags' defense never bumps opposing wide receivers in the five-yard zone. Dave, can you explain the defensive scheme?
Well, obviously the defensive scheme on that is they're trying to condense and make everything tight. They want to make it as hard as possible to create open space, to create seams, and to create holes. But for me, like I stated earlier, I think this is the game where we see Spags turn it on. Now we're in week four. You're getting your veterans back healthy. The players know the system, and you're going up against a quarterback who does not have the experience. You've got to do something
and who
different.
And Spags knows extremely
and who
well.
And he knows extremely well. Right. You've got to do something to get them off track, off pace, and be the one on the aggressor, or and be on the aggression. And that, I think that's where Spags' defense from now is going to, you know, make, you know, evolutionize itself. I think you saw the same thing in 2007 when we started 0-2. I think both quarterbacks threw for over 300 yards. But then after that third game is when you started to see everything fit into the place. And I think this is the week that you really see the defense step up and create more turnovers like they did last week.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in. We go to Rhode Island. Jeff, you're on board. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Anita and David. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you, my man? How's good. Rhode Island good. Treating you?
Very good. A lot of rain today. A lot of rain.
Yeah, we're with you. We're with you, buddy.
Before I get to my question, I just wanted to know if Flowers and Odighizuwa and Ezo, do you know if they'll be playing this week?
Well, Tom Coughlin seemed very optimistic today at his press conference. I will tell you that Ayers, Cruz, Darkwa, Flowers, Kuhn, Double O, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, they're all practicing today. Of course, Cruz limited. They're going to work him in slowly, but okay. But really, really very positive. Everything looking very positive in regard to this team being probably the healthiest it's been all season.
I think so as well. I think this is the time where you're starting to get back healthy. You're starting to get in the mix of the season. And for the New York Giants, it couldn't happen at a better time. Obviously, you'd never want to start your season this way, but at least now they're getting it back after a game where they come off of a win, build a little bit of momentum. But now, like I said, I think this is now where the identity of this football team has got to shine.
Okay. I agree with that. David, this question is for you. I mean, you were a very successful lineman for the Giants, and I just don't get why we can't get the running game going, okay? That's always been one of my huge pet peeves with this team, is being able to pound the ball on the ground successfully when you have to do it. Now, is it a matter of talent? Is it a matter of scheme? I mean, just can you specifically tell me why the running game just isn't working as well as it needs to be?
Well, number
and
one,
I'll hang up and I'll listen. Thank
no
you.
You got
Jeff,
it, Jeff,
thanks for the phone call.
Number one, you've got to remember that there was a lot of moving on the offensive line. There was a lot of shifting, trying to find that cohesive group, which all of that affects the way that you fit in the run game, the blocking schemes, the double teams, all that. So that is one thing. But then number two, the next step is the outside zone stretches between the tackles and the tight ends staying square. The tight ends have not been doing a very good job at the point of attack, getting their shoulders turned, forcing the running back, instead of being able to take it outside, forcing him to cut back early right into the direct flow of where the rest of the defense is coming. So this is another week that you talk about making sure that you get your outside runs going, because what will that do? That'll spread out the defense. It'll widen out the three technique and the defensive ends to make them honor those outside plays. So those are things that you can do to spread them out, get the outside pitches or sweeps going to open up those rush lanes, as well as something they've been doing well is the draw game. They've been using that effectively. They've been doing well at that. But I agree with you, Jeff. I think we're all waiting for this Giants running game to turn the corner, because that's the way that this offense can function at its best, and that's the way that you can get your weapons rolling the way that you want them to. Rashad Jennings, Shane Vereen out of the backfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Reuben Randall. The running game opens up things for everybody on the offense.
Talking about Odell Beckham Jr., I'm really interested to see how Rex Ryan and DT, Dennis Thurman,
yep,
how they defend or try to defend Odell Beckham Jr. They have a young rookie, Ronald Darby, who has
yes,
two picks already on the season. He has the most passes defended in the NFL at 8 right now. He has had the responsibility of a T.Y. Hilton and an Edelman as well. So
yeah,
I do
he plays that nickel position, but will come down and play man. They have a lot
I'm not saying that will be the matchup all game. I don't think you can do that against Odell. But I'm really interested, intrigued to see this rookie Darby go up against Odell Beckham Jr.
I think so, too. And obviously, you know, Darby's going to be a young rookie pressing himself, going up against one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the game. But one of the things that you can do is put Odell Beckham Jr. in different spots. Make him run all over the field. Make him see the vantage point from different spots. Make him cover the entire time. But if they're going to put their best defender on Odell Beckham Jr., other receivers have got to make plays, because they're going to get one-on-ones that they're going to have to win. They've got to win those matchups.
Another stat that actually I don't know if Tom Coughlin mentioned during his press conference, and that is the Bills have the second best TD rate in the red zone at 83%. But how about this? Last year, 43%. Just to kind of show you what, I mean, obviously Tyrod Taylor has a
yep,
lot to do with that. The rushing attack has a lot to do with that. The offensive line has a lot to do with that. Charles Clay having that big, solid tight end that you could utilize in the red zone has a lot to do with it. But that's a huge, from 43% to 83% TD rate in the red zone. That's a huge jump.
Huge jump. And then what they're finding out is they're finishing drives. That's why you're seeing putting them up 31 points, 24 points, which you're not used to seeing
right
out of a Buffalo offense. But at the same time, what's giving them these opportunities? Their defense, creating turnovers, causing three and outs, and giving their offense field position. So they play with that blend of perfect harmony with them. And like Coach talked about, special teams, they're going to have to make sure that they cover Harvin and make sure that they don't give up any big plays on special teams as well.
Yeah, it's been a really big surprise. Even with Sammy Watkins healthy, Percy Harvin has been the wide receiver of choice
for
Tyrod Taylor. Let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, how you doing, my friend?
Good, good, good. Hi, Anita. Hi, David. How
hey,
you doing
Lynn,
today?
How are you?
Good, good, good. Nice to get a win, especially against the Redskins. Living down this way, it's always really nice to beat the Redskins. You know, if all the guys on that list that, you know, Anita read to us, the agent fellow, I know a couple other callers have referred to this as well. Boy, that's good if we can get them on the field. Of course, you still have to play the game, but maybe we can begin to establish an identity on offense and, you know, the same thing on defense. I think we're still kind of floundering a little bit trying to figure out who we are, but I think if we can get our best guys back there, and our best guys play their best, and we're going to start to see this team get on a little bit of a roll. I think field position is going to be important, David. On Sunday, you know, if we can make this guy take his team 80 yards instead of 60 yards, it's going to make a big difference for the young quarterback.
Great point.
And one other thing, if you would comment on this, you seem to be alluding to it. You haven't come right out and said it, then I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it seems to me that you're a little concerned about that front three. Let's go to front seven on the Bills, particularly that nose tackle. Lord, he's good, David.
They are. And what it allows their defense to do is it allows them to show blitz, but only have to rush four, and they can still get to the quarterback. I mean, we've all seen that philosophy and that game plan.
Tannehill looked like a deer in headlights.
Work for football teams.
This past week. And look, three interceptions.
Yeah. That's the way that they thrive. They press that pocket in the face. They make that quarterback take the two or three steps back right into the rush lanes of the defensive ends, and they really cause a lot of problems for a quarterback to step up, to plant that back foot, and to throw with his feet planted in the ground. They make sure that they make it as disruptive and uncomfortable as possible for him.
Yeah. You know, I think if we can exercise reasonable control over that front three, particularly the front three, you know, if we don't do that, David, I mean, I can't see us gaining 60, 70 yards on the ground. I mean, we have to exercise. I don't want to put it totally on Eli's hands where, he's throwing the ball 45 times. I'm a balanced guy, too. I like to see balance between run and pass. But if it's not working and we fall behind a little bit, then we got to start throwing the ball, and I think that's going to make for a long afternoon. In any event, good to talk to you guys, and let's go Giants. Hey, let's get to 500. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Len.
Let's go to Ruff. Ruff? All right, Ruff, welcome in.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay,
what I understand is the Giants keep bringing in these wide receivers for like a backup to what they have right now, and I think they're downplaying Corey Washington. I think he's a big receiver, he's a tough receiver, and he's fast, and I think that when he gets in the open, he could take it to the house.
Yeah, but they can't activate him, Ruff.
Why's that?
Because of the way that they put him on the IR list as of right now to start the season, I think that he would have to wait, 6 or 8 weeks or something like that? So they wouldn't be able to activate him to play him right now anyways, Ruff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And again, and Ruff, thanks for the phone call. Tom Coughlin, because the question was posed, and if you're just tuning in, Wes Welker, Hakeem Nicks, and Chris Cooley came in for a workout with the Giants. It was a workout. It's not a tryout.
Yes,
it's a workout with the Giants. And Tom Coughlin said, this is what we do every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
We bring guys in, guys that are out there, guys that are available, just to kind of get a feel, you know, where are they at, well, condition-wise, football shape-wise. So it's not necessarily that they're looking to cut a player that's already on the roster, just in case down the
emergency
road something
list.
Happens.
Yep.
Yeah, they know where these guys are at right now. So that's important. Let's go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, great to talk to you, David. And Anita, I'll give you a question. You can figure it out right away. With everybody healthy there, I hope Double O can get in there. But who's going to be our inactives this week? And like the line, you want Ellison there for the running game and that. So I'll let you look that up a minute. And, David, I want to say up there at that stadium, if they have inclement weather raining that day, does it favor the Giants or New England? And I also remember New England open, Giants or Buffalo. And I remember the Giants or Buffalo opening up against New England, and Brady and them right off the bat, they didn't even try to run the game. The whole first quarter, they just passed the ball. and then they try to loosen them up with the run there. So I was wondering what you think about that. So
Joe, thank you for the call. Great question, by the way.
Hostile environment.
But in regard to the weather, because
yeah.
apparently
yep.
it's supposed to be rainy.
It's supposed to be wet and horrible weather.
So who does that benefit? When it's that those weather conditions?
I think right now, in the way that this offense of the New York Giants is going into it, I would think the weather and that inclement weather, the rain, the wet, I think it would benefit the Buffalo defense because I know that you said that you don't want it to be and you want the balance and you need all that stuff. I feel like Eli Manning's arm is what's going to win the game for the New York Giants this weekend. It has to be. Going up against this team, against this run-stuffing defense, they've got to be effective on first and second downs, throwing the ball, Eli getting the ball in and out of his hands, putting in positions and putting the wide receivers in spots where they can get 3, 4, 5 yards a clip to keep the chains moving. I think that's going to be the big thing. I would love for a game, just like any offensive lineman, where you ground and pound and where you open up some things. But if you can spread out the defense, make them honor the passing game and the quick screens and the slants and everything like that, it spreads things out because it makes those linebackers in the middle take those stems out. It makes them widen up where you can get those natural creases in running lanes. So
right.
as much as you want that balance and as much as it kills me as an offensive lineman, this is a game that your passing game has got to be what wins it for you.
Interesting. 201-939-4513. Again, just a reminder, fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to play for free today. We'll continue with our calls. Let's go to Jason calling in from Cali. Jason, welcome
long
in.
Long distance, Cali.
Welcome in from the West Coast.
I'm doing great out here. We got a little bad weather out here, but I'll tell you.
I don't want to hear about bad weather.
We've
California.
Got a hurricane barely supposed to be here on Monday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what. I have a day off today, and I woke up to two beautiful people, great conversation. I'm in hawk heaven right now.
Oh, thank
Good
you very
for
much.
You.
So, hey, I wanted to talk about the band's offense, and y'all were just talking about it a little while ago, so I'm glad y'all brought it up. Is when I was watching the Arizona game and watching them, you know, slice and dice San Francisco, it started to dawn on me that a lot of our successful games in New York has been when, you know, it's crunch time and Eli's throwing the ball. You know, the end of the season last year, we weren't running much, we were throwing. So it was really successful for us. So with that being said, thinking of the balance versus the non-balance offense, I'm not saying live and die by the run or try to get it 50-50, but why is it that sometimes we don't go that route to where we just air it out for a few games?
Obviously, you know, it's nice to have that balance, but each and every week defense coming in is going to give you different options. And after that first drive, you start to get in the flow, okay, even offensively as an offensive lineman, we would know, oh, okay, the way that they're playing eight in the box. Okay, we're going to run three-step. We're going to run play action just because we know that they're going to do whatever they can to shut down the run. And then you go into other games where they have four, they're not as stout, they're playing more coverage, and you're like, oh, okay, this is a game that we could take advantage of the run. So each and every week brings different opportunities, and it brings different challenges. But I think the biggest thing that you can do offensively to maintain that balance is stay ahead of the chains. Have positive gains on first and second down, whether it's a run or a pass, regardless, whatever you can do to make sure that against this defense that you're in third and manageable,
right,
you can survive. If you are not, if you have drops, if you have a tackle for a loss for a negative two on the first down, and then you're battling the chains again, that's where you're going to get in trouble. That's where any defense, especially a Rex Ryan defense, thrives on it because they can bring blitz, they can bring pressure, they can rush four. you are in the exact spot where they want.
And not, I'm not comparing Washington's defense to Buffalo's defense, but I went to the game as a fan on Thursday, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, it was fun. When I went out there, I was tailgating. I had great seats. It was fun. I mean, because I don't get a chance to experience that
yeah.
as a fan. So it was really cool. But I will say, it was boring football. But the fact that Eli was able to move the ball, first down, he'd score the first, put up 3 yards, second down, put up another 5 yards, and you saw again, I say it was boring football because it was like,
it's methodical.
But it's 3 yard
positive.
Game, 5 yard game, 4 yard game.
But they're positive.
But they're positive yards. Yep. So if they can take that kind of football to Buffalo and execute it, I think you're absolutely right. But we saw them have the ability to do it on Thursday night against Washington.
And the other thing that helps that is tempo. Getting in and out of the huddle. Get up to the line of scrimmage. Don't let the defense get set and manipulate everything. Go up tempo. Dictate the outcome of the game. Dictate the tempo. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to play with your personnel, and it doesn't allow this defense, which they want to do, substitute. They want to bring in nickel. They want to bring in different rush packages up front. But if you stay on top of them and you just keep marching, that's where you can wear down this football team. I don't care if it's the number one defense in the league. If you have them out on the field for 30 minutes, you can break them down.
I was just going to say also time of possession.
Yes, yes.
Let's go to line one. Rupi from Canada is calling in.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hello to Giants Nation.
Hello, Rupi.
And Michael, how are you?
Excellent. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Thank you for all the great memories. You're a great player.
Thank you very much.
You need to translate some of your aggressiveness to our front line, but that's for you to do while you're there at the Timex Center.
There you
but
go.
My
I'll
question
just start
is,
grabbing people and shaking them.
The Giants' DNA has always been built on great linebacking core, and I find that we have given up way too many yards on first downs from opposing teams. Can you explain to me, hopefully, that this will be fixed by Mr. Beeson's presence in the middle, and A, will our outside linebackers be able to get into the gaps to stop the run because Buffalo can really run the ball?
Very good point. And that's one of the big things that they're going to have to do is, number one, the linebackers are going to have to definitely wrap up and make clean tackles when they get their opportunities. But also they're going to have to cover out of the backfield, whether it's Williams, whether it's any of the backs that are in there, and Clay going across the middle of that defense. So they're going to have their challenges matched up against this week. But I think this is one of those matchups that favors in the Giants' favor, in the Giants' defensive linebackers' favor. I think if they had McCoy out there, and if he's healthy, McCoy has been one of those linebackers that Giants throughout the history playing up against him have had just a tough time covering him. So if he's out, at least it's Williams in there, who's still got that elusiveness but doesn't have that breakaway just like McCoy does, where he can go from 0 to 100 in that split second. But linebacking play is huge. First and second down, making those tackles, putting them like I hate to be repetitive, but, I mean, it's the same game plan. If you can put Tyrod Taylor and this offense in negative situations where they've got to fight back from it, that's something they really haven't faced this season. So if you can put them in those third and longs, it's not Peyton Manning back there or Tom Brady. This is an inexperienced quarterback that is going to trust some things that he shouldn't. He gets rid of the ball sometimes late instead of getting rid of it early because he's still going through things. This is where Steve Spagnuolo's defense and his scheme this week has got to come up big to cause pressure and hit him. Get him on the ground, make it disruptive, make it feel like a game that he hasn't felt before.
Your thoughts on Jonathan Beeson and what you saw on Thursday night?
Jonathan Beeson was obviously under a pitch count, which was good. They didn't want to rush him, have him play an entire game, have him come back. I actually liked the way that they balanced Unga and John Beeson throughout the game. I thought it was a nice change-up. It was nice for John Beeson to be able to still throughout this time show his veteran leadership to Unga, how to prepare, go through everything that he's been doing, breaking down film with him. You know, that's one of the unspoken things that you can't talk enough about John Beeson, how much this team means to him, and how throughout injuries he was like a coach for those young guys. So I like the fact that they had that change up. It's still giving Unga experience. But in this game, with the way on first and second down, that Steve Spagnuolo, I hope that he is aggressive. It's great having a veteran linebacker like John Beeson who can identify things pre-snap, can point things out and communicate to the rest of the defense, because we know Greg Roman's offense is going to try to do different formations to take advantage of.
Let's go to South Carolina, AJ on line three. Welcome in. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live, AJ.
Oh, I got a question. This bet played this week.
You broke up a little bit, AJ. What was that, buddy?
This bet the play this week.
I think he's asking if double. Thank
double
you for
O.
The, thank you for the call, AJ. He's asking if double O is going to play this week.
Well, Coach Coughlin said he's practicing and is feeling good about the opportunities of him playing. So, having another interior defensive line who can play both sides, who can stuff the run, but I know Coach Coughlin is hoping can add another dimension in the passing game, in the rush as well. It's great having him back and Ayers back, because not only can you have Owa outside at that defensive end position, but one of the things, once he starts getting healthy, we can see him line up one-on-one against guards inside as well.
All right, let's end the show. I do want to take a look around the league. How about this for 3-0 teams so far? Okay, the Patriots, I don't think that surprises folks now that, of course, we know that Brady's going to play the entire season. Cincinnati, 3-0. I think that's been Andy Dalton.
Dalton's Mr. September. He always comes out lighting it up. It's down the stretch in the playoffs where he's had his struggles.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Pittsburgh without Ben Roethlisberger. Cleveland, obviously, they're struggling.
I wouldn't rule out Michael Vick getting a win on Thursday night.
If he could stay healthy.
I know. I'll tell you what, Todd Haley is a smart offensive coordinator who has a lot of things in his head that he can turn between Michael Vick and Le'Veon Bell, their running back. That's for sure.
Denver 3-0, Green Bay 3-0. Man, they look so good against Kansas City the other night. Atlanta and Carolina 3-0, and Arizona 3-0. Out of all those teams, which one surprises you the most that are sitting at 3-0?
I would say Atlanta, the turnaround that they had from last year to this year. You could tell with their new head coach, there is a new energy in the building. And watching that first game all the way through and into the Giants game, you could tell that they fly around. They're confident. This defense hasn't had a huge turnover in players, but they look like a completely different defense out there. So I just think that they've built a lot of confidence. And for them to sit 3-0 right now, I don't think anybody would expect that out of Atlanta.
Teams that are 0-3, David, the Baltimore Ravens, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, and the New Orleans Saints. Out of those three, for me, probably the biggest surprise is the Baltimore Ravens.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I would think with a head coach like Harbaugh and this offense with the Joe Flacco and what they have on defense, I couldn't believe that they're sitting here 0-3 right now.
Look at this AFC South division all tied up at 1-2. Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee. I really liked Indianapolis coming into the season. Obviously, they had two very difficult games their first 2 weeks. But who knows? Who knows how that division is going to pan out as well? Marcus Mariota has been, I think, really impressive.
He really has.
As a rookie, he's impressed me more so than Jameis Winston
so far this
season. So, but let's end looking at this NFC East division. And you've got Dallas, as I said, Sunday night. They're at New Orleans. No Romo. Whedon. Who knows what's going to happen with New Orleans? You got possibly Luke McCown, who's going to get another start, depending, I think,
what happens with Drew
Brees. I want to say he met with Dr. Andrews yesterday or today, something like that.
Dr. James Andrews, good man.
Yeah. So, I mean, but whenever you meet with Andrews, you know it's something serious. Thoughts on how that game plays out? It's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans. Tough place to play. Obviously, we want to see what the health is of Drew Brees. And you know what? It's been crazy the last two or three years. You'd think, oh, New Orleans playing at home, that's a for sure win.
Right.
It hasn't been that way in the past. And I think that going in against this team, even with the injuries, I think Dallas can pull up an upset.
Isn't it amazing? You know, they have arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. You have Joseph Randle, three touchdowns, and Lance Dunbar getting in the passing attack. Yep. 10 targets, 10 receptions, 100 yards last week. So expecting a heavy dose of rushing attack with Whedon in there at quarterback. And then, of course, you have the Eagles in Washington going up against each other at our nation's capital, both sitting at 1-2. The Eagles, an impressive win against the Jets this past week. Obviously, the Washington Redskins just looked absolutely horrible against the Giants here.
That is the game that I'm calling this weekend, so I'm looking forward to watching that one. I think the Eagles are going to edge the Redskins.
You do?
Yeah.
You think they kind of turned that corner? You like what you saw against the Jets last week?
I think that I like the way that they played last week, showed some consistency. Ryan Matthews added another dimension that they didn't have out of DeMarco Murray. I know they're saying DeMarco Murray is going to be healthy, but we'll see if that two-headed monster, if they're going to spread that out between the two. But offensively, Darren Sproles is their best football player, hands down.
So you're anticipating at the end of week four, Dallas to be 3-1, the Eagles to be 2-1, Washington to be 1-3, and then, of course, we're all hoping that the Giants win, and they'll be sitting at 2-1 as well.
Yep.
Fantastic. Hey, it's been a fun hour with you. Thank you. I always look forward to my Wednesdays with you.
I do, too.
David Deal, Anita Marks, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Stay tuned to Giants.com. Players will be made available today after practice. All those interviews will be up on Giants.com. And I want to say tomorrow is Paul DeTino and is it Howard Cross?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it is. So it's Paul DeTino, Howard Cross coming your way tomorrow for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Have a great one.
Right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through.